Well, boys and girls, moms and dads, if you have your Bibles open, please open to Ezra chapter 1 and stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Ezra chapter 1. I'll be reading from verses 5 to 11. Ezra chapter 1, verses 5 to 11. These chapters are very short, so we're going to finish the first chapter by reading verses 5 to 11. This is the reading of God's Word. Then the heads of the father's household of Yehudah and Binyamin and the priests and the Levites arose when everyone whose spirit God has stirred up to go up and rebuild the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. All those about them encouraged them with articles of silver, with gold, with goods, with cattle, and with valuables, aside from all that was given as free will offering. Also, King Cyrus brought out about the articles about the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem and to put in the house of his gods. And Koresh, Melech Paras, the king of Persia, had them brought out by the land of Mithredet, the treasurer, and he counted them out to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Yehudah. Now this was their number, 30 gold dishes, 1,000 silver dishes, 29 duplicates. Now the priests and the Levites, some of the people, I skipped over two more pages. 30 gold bowls, 410 silver bowls, the second kind, 1,000 other articles. All the articles of gold and silver numbered 5,400. Sheshbazzar brought them up all up with the exiles who went up from Babylon to Jerusalem. Amen. Please be seated. Now, boys and girls, I don't know if your heart has ever been stirred. I don't know if you've ever went to school and really liked somebody and your heart was pumping. Or your teacher was so kind and your heart was pumping. I don't know if your mom and dad, but you can ask them later, because before they met, their heart was pumping. And then they were stirred to make a very important decision called marriage. And so they had you. So that's how things happen. But God is in the business of stirring people's hearts to do what he wants them to do. And in the Bible here, in the book of Ezra, it says that God stirred the heart of a very powerful king named Cyrus. He was the king of a huge empire named Persia. This new empire had just conquered the previous empire of Babylon. Now this is the founder of this new empire, Cyrus. And the scripture says God stirred his heart to make an edict. Edict is a law. He says, now I want all the Jews to go back to their homeland, to Jerusalem and to Israel, and rebuild the temple and worship God. Those of you who want to help, help them. But you are free to go. Isn't that interesting, boys and girls, that one king of a previous kingdom named Nebuchadnezzar, I know it's a very hard name to pronounce, huh? Nebuchadnezzar. We'll just call him King Nebi for short. Nebi decided that he was a powerful king and he wanted to take everybody slaves. His kingdom is no more. God destroyed his kingdom. And now a brand new kingdom has come. That's the kingdom of Persia. Today, they're in Iran. The Iranians are the Persians. Now you say, where are these empires? They're no more, boys and girls. They're no more. There used to be some colonies here in America. Now we have a nation. One day, America may be no more. Powerful empires and nations come and go. But God's people in the Old Testament times, the Israelites, they were a tiny little group of people, and yet God preserved them. God is showing everyone that it is not up to man, it is not up to political power, nor military power, or economic power. It's not how strong you are, how rich you are, how mighty you are, how smart you are that you succeed in life. It is up to God to rise up and put down. And here God is stirring up a heart of a very powerful, powerful man, and this powerful politician named King Cyrus, and says, go back, Jews. What did Nebuchadnezzar says? No, I will take you to my own home country to make you slaves. Now what is God saying? You are free to go. Where's Nebuchadnezzar? He's gone. What about his son? He's gone. What about his grandson? They're gone. What about the kingdom of Babylon? It's gone. But now the Israelites are going back to their homeland to rebuild. And notice who goes first. It's the leaders. Leaders are always pioneering. They're always saying, hey, I'm going to serve God. Who's with me? And here are the people of Judah, Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, the most committed people who are constantly serving. They're the ones who are saying bye to all their friends and family, to pack up everything, now to go on a three-month journey. 3 months. Did you know, boys and girls, that you cannot go 3 months anywhere in the world? You'll be going around in circles. But back in those days, they had to walk everywhere. So it took them 3 months from Babylon to go all the way to Jerusalem, and they didn't even know what was waiting for them. They had no clue. So they had to go. Remember Abraham, when God said, leave your home country from Ur and go to the land I will show you. Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he obeyed and he went, and he became the father, the ancestor of the Jewish people, and the father of all who believe in God. And in the same way, these Israelites had no idea, because for 70 years, in two generations, they lived in Babylon. They couldn't even speak their own language. They lost it. Most of the people couldn't speak, except the priests and some of the Levites. Now they're going back in a three-month journey to go back to rebuild the temple so that they can worship God. This is what they're up to. And what did God do? He provided them helpers. Notice what it says in the Bible there. It says that people opened up their money and gave it to the people because they said, we can't go, but we know that you can go, so we will support you. Today, we do the same thing. Some of us can't go into the mission field, but some people can. And so what we do is we pray and we support them with money so they can buy the airplane tickets, they can go buy some food, they'll have a place to stay, so they can tell other people about Jesus. That's what we mean when we support missionaries and evangelists and pastors and teachers who can go to places, who can do this kind of ministry and work. And so this is what they did. They opened up their bank accounts. They gave them lots of money and said, here you go. And then we have their checking account, all the records, 30 gold dishes, 1,000 silver dishes, 29 duplicates, 30 golden bowls, 410 silver bowls. And then when you add it all up, plus another 1,000 other articles, you don't have 5,400. The math is not consistent. Why? Because all these things are the biggest and the most important articles. There are many others. Forks, big spoons, shovels, things like that. Now, what are these things? Much of it was an offering, but a lot of it were the very things that Nebuchadnezzar had taken to Babylon years and years and years ago, 70 years ago. Now, boys and girls, imagine Nebuchadnezzar, the big, powerful king of Babylon, went over, destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed Israel, and took all their goods back to Babylon. Now, what do you think he did with those? He put it in his temple, in his treasury. And he said, my God, Marduk, what a funny name, Marduk, is better and bigger and stronger than the gods of Israel. So I'm going to dedicate these things to my God. And he put it in the temple, which was also the bank and the treasury there. Now, King Cyrus is saying, give all these things back to the Israelites so they can take it back and use them for worship. Isn't God amazing? Some people can steal other people's things, but in the end, God is a God of justice and righteousness, and he makes even Stephen. You cannot outdo God. And this is what God did. God took it all out of the treasury and gave it to the Israelites, and they took it with them so they could use it for worship. Here's another thing that happened. Not only did God help the Israelites through their own countrymen, but also through these vessels, these very expensive gold and silver articles, which they took back with them. And then it says they went up to Jerusalem. Now, there's a couple things we need to learn here. It is that every one of these people who left their comforts of Persia, went over to Jerusalem, obeyed God. Because you cannot leave your home, go to an unknown place to rebuild a temple while being comfortable and not making any decision to obey God. And that's a very important lesson for us, boys and girls, because you can think about obeying God all day, many years, but unless you take your first step in obedience to God, you will not be obeying God. So when your mom and dad asks you to do something, Johnny, could you go take the trash out? You do not say, I'll think about it, mom. That's called disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Soon as you say, yes, mom, and you take the first step to do it, now you are being obedient. This is what the Israelites did. They say, yes, God. They obey. Now, what happened to these people? God stirred their hearts too. The same God who stirred the heart of an unbelieving king stirred the hearts of faithful people among Israel. They became the pioneers and the leaders, and the rest of the people followed. 3 months long journey. They didn't know what was going to await them. Those 3 months were a very difficult journey. And then when they got there, they faced a lot of hardship. And yet they obeyed, and God allowed them to rebuild the temple and to worship God. And this was what's amazing accomplishment when people obey God. God does wonderful things. And here's a very important life lesson for us. You see this phrase right here? And they went up to Jerusalem, verse 11. That's how we're going to finish. They went up. That means that they had to go climb up the hill to get to Jerusalem to start rebuilding. Going up is the same phrase today of Israelites going back to their homeland. Boys and girls, did you know that no time in history were there so many Jews in their own homeland as it is today in 2019, this year? No other time in history were there as many Jews in their ancestral homeland in Israel as they were. Over half of the Jews in all the world are now living in Israel. Why? Because they went up to Jerusalem. And every Jew who goes back, they go to the holy city, they walk around, and they pray, and they cry, because they know that that's their ancestral homeland, that their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, not Moses, he didn't make it there, Joshua, and all the people were there in Jerusalem. And King David made that city. And that's where God was worshipped. But it was destroyed. Why? Because they disobeyed. Now when they're obedient, they can go back to rebuild, to worship God. See, God does wonderful things to those who obey Him. And to those who disobey, they don't make it. They don't make it. Those who disobey will never, ever be able to serve God. They don't make it. Only those who obey. And these are the people who obeyed God. They went up to Jerusalem. Today, many people still go up to Jerusalem from America, from all over Europe, and from other parts of the world. They go up to Jerusalem. They say bye-bye to their homeland, and they go there. Why? Because God is stirring them up to assemble there. You know what happened to us? Jesus Christ came into our life, and He saved us. We trust in Him, and one day He's going to stir us as well. He's going to call us, and He's going to say, come on up. And we're not going to go up to Jerusalem. We're going to go up to be with the Lord in heaven. He's coming to get us so that we will be with Him forever. And that's called the resurrection. It's also called the rapture in the Bible. And so you and I need to be excited about the fact that God's stirring up the hearts of His people. Only those who love the Lord and were obedient to His word will be stirred up. And then the Lord's going to call us up to be with Him as well, so that we can be with Him forever. And so today, these Israelites who are gathered in Jerusalem are the descendants, are the children of the children of the children of the very people who went back to Israel. And the first pioneer who did that is their ancestor Abraham. And God called Abraham. God called us to be His worshipers. We're the most blessed people in all the world. He brought us together as the church, and now He's preparing us to now serve God and to be with Him forever. That's the good news. And so we're so thankful that those of you who know the Lord, who love the Lord, and who desire to study God's word, you will understand God's will for you. And then when God stirs you up in your heart to serve Him, remember to obey Him. It's the most important thing to obey God than anything else. And this is how God blesses His people. When He stirs up their heart to say, "Yes, Lord," and to serve Him. May the Lord bring you so much joy as you serve Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank You so much for giving us a wonderful historical picture of what You have done many, many, many years ago, and yet You are still doing today, because You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, as our Lord Jesus is. And we thank You that You have stirred our hearts to repent from our sins, to believe in Jesus Christ, and to come to an understanding of the Savior. And Father, we thank You for the teachers and Awana leaders who work hard to help us to understand Your word, so that we can live in obedience and love toward You. We thank You, Lord, for all the hard work that our youngsters have put in. And we thank You for all the Awana leaders and teachers and commanders who serve. And we thank You now as we give of our time in celebration and reflection of Your faithfulness. So just as You have used one generation of Israelites to do Your work and Your will, Lord, we pray that You would use this generation of young people to stand up for Christ in their generation and to be Your people who are obedient to Your word. We thank You, we praise You, in Jesus' name. Amen.